Good morning and welcome to today's Cleantech Podcast. I'm your host, Don Van Zandt, founder of InvestorIdeas.com, and this is my way of helping you stay informed with cleantech stock news and interviews with thought leaders. Learn about today's problems and solutions for the future. Let's all do our part to make this beautiful planet a better place each and every day. Today, we're talking with Will Ralston, CEO of Single Point Inc., trading symbol CBOESING. A company that just reached a significant milestone with its uplisting. Will talks about the growth opportunities of solar and indoor air quality, their two main industries they're focusing on. He also shares his 2024 strategy of growth through acquisition and how their new listing will help pave the way. Will, thanks for joining us today. Let's start off with something simple for our investors and our listeners. Who is Single Point and what markets and industries are you focused on?
Yeah, well, thanks again for having us on, and we appreciate the continued support of Investor Ideas and your group. So Single Point, you know, we've been focused for the last 2 years in the solar and renewable energy market, as well as indoor air quality. We've had massive governmental, you know, tailwinds for these industries that really set the stage for the next decade, including the Inflationary Reduction Act that puts a tremendous amount of tax credits and money towards, you know, clean energy and renewable projects. And then we've had the ESSER and EANS funds, which are also federally funded, $121 billion that drive indoor air quality solutions for K-12 schools across the country. So those are our main two focuses right now. And on the solar side, we're really looking at the acquisitions and roll-up strategy to be that first truly national installation, engineering, procurement business across the United States.
Well, we have covered you for quite a while, and we've seen your company go through a lot of evolution, and I think you reached a massive milestone, so congratulations. You just became the first ever U.S.-listed company on the CBOE. Can you talk about that? And first of all, for investors, is that similar to the NYSE and NASDAQ, and what this really means for the company to be listed here?
Absolutely. So we were the first U.S.-listed company on CBO, and it's an extremely exciting time. It's a brand new exchange, but they've operated for many, many years in the options and ETFs market, and they decided, you know, basically in June this year that they were going to open an equities side to compete with NASDAQ and NYSE. And being that first listed company on CBO is a great milestone. It really shows, if you zoom out, as you mentioned, you've covered us for a while. If you zoom out, it wasn't that long ago that we were a, you know, sub $1 million revenue company, actually less than two annual reporting periods ago. You know, we were a small, you know, revenue generating but very small business. And within that time, we've gone from nominal revenue, again, sub $1 million, to $17 million to $24 million. And, you know, we expect to grow on top of that again this year. So what that's helped us do in this listing, you know, those accomplishments alone, from growing the business, making our first acquisition of Boston Solar, to now, you know, being the first U.S. listed company on CBO, it just opens up our market. They are a tier one exchange. CBO trades over $1.8 trillion a day through their exchange. And it just gives us the credibility, the notoriety, the name of being listed. And that's an extremely important factor. When you're talking to companies that are looking to be acquired, when you're talking to institutional investors, it solidifies the company's position and gives us the ability to execute on the strategy that we've been developing over the last 2 years since I took over as CEO. And it's an exciting time because that's been our goal. One of the main things that I said coming into this business was we want to become listed, and getting to be the first company ever and the first ever U.S. company on CBO is an amazing accomplishment and shows the fortitude and dedication of our team to continue to push through and ensure the success of this company moving forward.
I'd read recently that one firm says the solar market will triple in the next 5 years, which is fantastic to hear. So going back, you mentioned the acquisition of Boston Solar. Can you talk about that, when that took place, and what that represents for your company in terms of revenue and projects and what the bigger picture is?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you look at, you know, the analysts that are putting these projections out there, it's an exciting time for us, because if you zoom out and look at this on cycles, over the last 10 years, solar panel costs and cost of going solar have dropped by over 50%. If you look at our cycle over the last 2 years, our acquisition of Boston Solar in April of 2022 really jump-started us. And over those 2 years, we've faced, you know, there's always going to be challenges, but we've faced some of our own challenges in terms of inventory and supply chain management, you know, and panel prices actually increasing during some of that supply chain stuff. And as soon as we're coming off of that, you know, now we're seeing panels start to decrease, but there's some headwinds around high interest rates for homeowners. But even through those times over the last few years, we've actually been able to grow and continue that growth at Boston Solar. And it's a testament to what it means for building a great brand and a great business. Boston Solar has been a leading New England solar EPC engineering procurement construction company for 13 years. They're a proud partner of the Boston Red Sox. Most recently, we announced that Boston Solar is the first U.S. solar business that's going to be installing and selling the Energizer Solar brand for battery storage. So we're extremely excited about all these developments that are happening, even in the midst of what's been a little bit of a headwind cycle over the last couple of years. But we're already starting to see the tailwinds of 2024 starting to kick in as this new interest, you know, we're seeing a potential pause in interest rate hikes. It's becoming the new norm. We'll start to see those go down. And overall, solar and energy costs, well, energy costs in general keep rising, which means it's cheaper and cheaper to go solar. But those costs of going solar are also coming down in terms of the goods and equipment. Individuals and commercial businesses who are we serve, small commercial and residential, it's always going to be advantageous for them to look at going solar, EV charging, battery backup. And it's really set for that next decade, that next cycle of growth, which we're teeing up here for in 2024.
So talking about 2024, can you talk about your strategy? I know you'd put out some news recently talking about a plan for expansion, acquisitions, and industry partnerships. Can you expand on that a little bit?
The strategy that we've been defining is really focused on acquisitions and roll up of number one, number two, number three companies in a region. Solar is highly region dependent and even very fragmented within those regions. So you have to have the businesses that we're looking at have to have a great understanding of the market they operate in, a history of growing revenue, a history of profitability, and great bench strength within the business. So our strategy is to find and identify these companies, make the acquisition, allow them to maintain their brand, their company, their people, everything that they're doing to be successful, but be able to provide that back-end infrastructure. And as we grow, we'll get more purchasing power. We'll be able to drive back-end efficiencies and, you know, accounting or HR, whatever it might be, so that overall we can improve that bottom line and that profitability. So on the solar side of the business, that's our strategy. And as we've shown with being the first U.S.-listed company on Cboe, we're able to go ahead and execute on that at a much quicker pace now as we've defined it over the last 2 years and we've identified a multiple acquisition targets. And on the brand side, as we just announced with Energizer Solar, that's where we'll keep pushing. So you've got the installers. We can now go back to our customers, and our companies, and then we start driving products down through that channel to increase the verticality of our business. So 2024, we expect to continue driving that strategy, make a couple of really quick acquisitions that we've already been working with and defining and being able to roll into our company, and then continue to identify those great companies until we reach that truly national scale. You know, our air quality business, we've got a $5 million grant in California, and we're looking to push and sell right through that. And then we can start expanding that business, you know, into other states as well.
I would think that if you look at the bigger picture, in some ways, the air quality market is potentially bigger for you, just because when you look at world air pollution, it's astronomical. When you look at the real numbers, I don't think most people are really aware of what that looks like. How much market share do you think you can capture? Like, have you really looked at what you can do with this company if you get the funding and the development behind it?
It's a really great point and a very interesting question that could go, you know, many different directions. I consider our air quality business, Box Pure Air, I've always referred to it as our X factor. There's, you know, multiple states, New York being one of them, that purchase $70 million worth of equipment from one vendor. We have the opportunity to be those contracts, and we've been in, you know, just we've put in for the RFPs to be in that conversation. And to your point, global air quality is awful. Our air is dirty. We spend 90% of our time indoors, where air quality can be 7, 8, 9, 10 times worse than it is outside. And what's driven that is the, you know, in the 70s, energy.gov put in policies to really seal buildings for energy efficiency, which is, on an energy efficiency side, extremely smart. You want to try to keep the heat in or keep the air conditioning in. But what it's done is it's not allowed for any indoor-outdoor air exchange. And so what happens is you end up just breathing recycled air. So every time, you know, we're sitting in a conference room together, I'm taking a breath after 15 minutes approximately. In an average-sized conference room, 3% of every breath I take is the breath that, you know, you've breathed out. So it becomes this recycled air, and it's a very interesting topic, and it could be a larger business, but there's a lot of education that goes around there. We're still trying to help, you know, create that education and wrap the business around how our air is affecting cognitive abilities within schools, absenteeism at school, you're breathing in smoke, pollution. I think the stat is 1 in 14 kids have asthma at school, so they're missing school on more sick days and not being able to think as clearly as they deal with allergens, pollutants, and everything else. So the air quality business is, again, it's a long-term business, and we really look at everything long-term. You know, when I look at what we're doing, it's the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years, you know, up to the next 10. And that's why we're on this decade-long cycle for both of these businesses. But overall, indoor air quality, it's important for our health. It's important for what we have to do every day, which is breathe. And the fact of the matter is, if you had a choice of tap water or filtered water in front of you, you're most likely drinking that filtered bottled water. And it's the same thing with air. We need to be creating as much clean air environment as we can as we, you know, get back to congregating at school. You know, we're just coming off the holidays. Everybody's going back to school. You know, teachers, we want to make sure to keep teachers healthy and in school. And that's where we're focused at in the air quality market.
And I think it's great. I don't think a lot of investors in the investment community at large really talk about it enough and look at what the opportunities are there. So I'm really glad that you're doing that and exploring that. And I hope you can expand, because as you said, we do all have to breathe every day.
We have to breathe every day. And there's $121 billion that was allocated by the federal government for K-12 schools. There's $350 billion allocated to commercial buildings through the White House's Clean Air Challenge. And then actually last month, policymakers and the parties to be are discussing a $1.6 trillion package to go towards schools for cutting emissions, making better learning environments, including indoor air quality and ventilation. And so when I'm talking about the next decade, these are the types of fundings and tailwinds that we're seeing. And that government money, you know, it does. It takes a while to trickle through. But we're on the forefront of this, and we've been doing it. We've placed units throughout California, Texas, South Carolina, North Carolina. And in my opinion, we have the most up-to-date, best engineered unit on the market that already meets all the standards, UL listed, EPA certified, Department of Education certified, ASHRAE compliant, you name it, and it has the listing. And the reason for that is the engineer behind it actually develops and engineers clean rooms for semiconductor manufacturing facilities. So there's a unique and understanding of how to clean, you know, clean air in rooms. So that's where we're at. We're really excited about both industries. Again, decade-long opportunities that we're executing on right here, right now.
Well, with all of that opportunity in front of you in both sectors, and as you said, you're looking at other acquisitions and probably some other industries within the renewable sector. In closing, what would you like to say to single-point investors and shareholders, both new and old?
One, I'd like to say we appreciate everybody that's, you know, been a stakeholder and a supporter of Single Point. You know, it's been an absolutely great journey. There's been a lot of tough times, as with building any business and driving towards that success. And we look forward to seeing what it really means for us being listed on Cboe. It's a massive accomplishment, and it's going to unlock the opportunities that Single Point and our team has truly been building. You know, even from day one of starting the company, this is a goal that many companies look to achieve, is becoming listed. And even within the last 2 years, going from sub $1 million in revenue to 17 to 24 to surpassing that this year is very exciting. So to the people that have hung in there with us and continue to invest and follow along, we appreciate that. And to everybody that's new, that's looking at a potential opportunity, we're in two high growth industries, two very top of mind. The entire world is looking for a better way to produce and create a more sustainable plan of energy as we transition to that through solar, through hydrogen. It's never going to be just one solution. It's going to be all of them, creating towards this more sustainable future through this transition. And, on the air quality side, again, we have to breathe every single day. It's not a choice. There's studies out there now that show our indoor air quality is cutting the potential lifespan by 7 years. So the pandemic's really changed how people look at indoor air quality, and those studies will keep coming out. Overall, it's onward and upward from here, and we're newly listed. Over the next decade, we're going to see how this all comes together, and it's happening right here in front of our eyes as we execute here at Single Point.
Well, thank you. That's a very exciting future. I know you've faced a lot of headwinds, as you said, in the past, and now I think it's full steam ahead for both industries that you're in. So, again, congratulations on your listing. I know that was a big achievement, and I look forward to speaking to you in the future.
Wonderful. Thanks for having us on, and we'll talk again soon.
To hear more Clean Tech podcasts, visit the Clean Tech and Climate Change page on Investor Ideas. You can find it on our top template. Also, Investor Ideas has a lineup of other podcasts and themes, including the AII, the Crypto Corner, our cannabis podcast called Cannabis News and Stocks on the Move, rated one of the top investor podcasts in the sector, Play by Play, a podcast looking at sports and esports news, and Exploring Mining. To listen to any of our podcasts, visit our podcast page on Investor Ideas at investorideas.com/audio. And a reminder, you can hear our podcasts on Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spreaker.com, iHeartRadio, Google Play Music, and most audio platforms available to you. If you like any of our podcasts, we would appreciate you recommending them or reviewing them on your audio platform. And to help you follow and track clean tech and renewable energy stocks, Investor Ideas has created a directory of publicly traded stocks in the sector. You can find that by going to our homepage, looking on the sidebar and looking at renewable energy and environmental themes, and you'll find our stock directories there. Investor Ideas does remind all of investors to read our disclaimers and disclosures on our site. You can find them at investorideas.com/about-disclaimer.asp. It is important to read these. And this podcast is not an endorsement to buy products or services or securities. Investors are reminded that all investment involves risk and a possible loss of investment. Thank you again and have a great day. For disclosure purposes, Single Point Inc. is a paid featured renewable energy stock on Investor Ideas. Please read our disclaimer and our disclosure page on investorideas.com.